when it was his object to read men's minds. "You have something to say," said he to the musketeer. "Something to say which you do not say. Come, speak freely, monsieur. You know that I told you once and for all that you are always to be quite frank with me." "Well, sire, what I have to say is this, that I would prefer being made captain of the musketeers for having charged a battery at the head of my company, or taken a city, than for causing two wretches to be hung." "Is this quite true, you tell me?" "And why should your majesty suspect me of dissimulation, I ask?" "Because I have known you well, monsieur. You cannot repent of having drawn your swords for me." "Well, in that your majesty is deceived, and greatly. Yes, I do repent of having drawn my sword, on account of the results that action produced. The poor men who were hung, sire, were neither your enemies nor mine, and they could not defend themselves." The king preserved silence for a moment. "And your companion, Monsieur d'Artagnan, does he partake of your repentance?"
"My companion?"
"Yes, you are not alone, I have been told."
"Alone? Where?"
"At the Place de Grève." "No, sire, no," said D'Artagnan, blushing at the idea that the king might have a suspicion that he, D'Artagnan, had wished to engross himself all the glory that belonged to Raoul. "No, mordieu, and as your majesty says, I had a companion, and a good companion, too."
"A young man?"
"Yes, sire, a young man. Oh, your majesty must accept my compliments. You are as well informed of things out of doors as things within. It is Monsieur Colbert who makes all these fine reports to the king."
"Monsieur Colbert has said nothing but good of you, Monsieur d'Artagnan, and he would have met with a bad reception if he had come to tell me anything else."